Let's make like a whore and f*** men for money.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 410, recorded on January 17th, 2016.
To the 410th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 243rd episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
I am Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
So yeah, Paul has taken a break from his very busy schedule. As a matter of fact, yesterday
Paul is on by special appearance because he has things to say.
He also has places to go, so we're going to try and keep this to 50 minutes, 60 minutes, so that he can skedaddle.
He also recently published a book.
Congratulations, Paul.
And people know that from the podcast episode in which I recorded that interview with you.
Yes, it can be found on Amazon.
Yeah, and then we talked about my little
hard copy edition to be out hopefully this week.
And then we talked about My Little Pony.
That's cool.
So
because My Little Pony is awesome.
So what have you been playing, Paul?
I've been playing a little gem that I found at GamerX3. It's a little independent Magic the Gathering style collectible card trading game.
Is it called this Mortis game? Or?
No. It's called Furtopia. And I swear to God, the only reason that I purchased the cards was because, man, this game found its niche and they are playing to it. It's like a furry erotica.
I was about to say, is this a furry game? Is this?
Oh my God, it so totally is. It's amazing.
Oh dear.
The goal is to exhaust your opponent's harem of anthropomorphic animals.
Oh dear.
I think it's brilliant because they identified who their target consumer is and they are giving that consumer exactly what that consumer wants.
Sounds like you're gonna
I like that because I think we need more of that. Instead of trying to broaden and get everybody to play the game, just go look for your target market and hit them like a Mack truck, you know? Seriously.
Exactly. Not everybody wants to play Halo.
Right.
Well, here's the thing is that, you know, well, this is a computer game, right?
No, this is a collectible card game.
Okay. There are
they're on their fourth series already. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. But the thing is that, you know, it's not that niche. I mean, it may appeal to a niche, but I'm pretty sure people get a kick out of furries and furry fandom. But
what appealed to me was that, especially as an expert on LGBT gamers, is that they clearly went out of their way to include content for as many sexualities as they could conceive of. So it's not just like gay furries or lesbian furries. It's like, no, they want all furries to come and be part of their world. And I just thought that was really interesting, a really interesting decision. And I support it financially.
For a moment, I thought when you said Furtopia was going to be at a harem of bears.
Well, and no, I mean, there about are the bears and bears. Wolves.
No. I'm not talking about furry fandom bears. I mean San Franciscan bears.
Oh, no. I mean, my personal favorite is Professor Bunny Rabbit.
Okay. So, wait.
He's got these cute little glasses. They're adorable.
So, wait. So, do these furries have their own stats? I mean, do they have any special powers?
Yes. I'm telling you, the animals have stats. The animal people have powers and stats, and some of them... some of them are insatiable, and so they don't cost any mana to use, or they don't cause any sex points to use. Okay. And some of them are prone to having a hair trigger.
So you're having sex with them easily. To use them, huh?
What was that?
You're having sex with them to activate them. Is that
No. Pretty much, you're sending your harem against the opponent's harem, and the goal is to exhaust the opponent's harem so that you can then go and have your way with their...
Why am I reminded of Barbarella being played by Duran Duran all of a sudden? Because she has too much sex, the machine can't handle it.
The whole thing is very tongue-in-cheek.
Mm. I like tongue in whose cheek? And where?
I said all kinds of cheeks.
Uh-huh. So I assume, Scott, you're still playing Fallout 4 and Minecraft?
I think I'm going to have a little bit of a break from Fallout 4 because I've finished all the endings that there are, got all four of them. I got 49 of 50 achievements, so I'm just going to maybe give it a break and play the second chapter of King's Quest.
If you've played all four endings, then did someone just faint?
I dropped something. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I thought for a moment you had a little bit too much beer or wine.
No,
and just face planted into the keyboard. I know I'm in danger of doing that sometimes, but not because I'm drunk. It's because I'm tired.
No, I just followed a little bit of a guide to, if you do the quests in a certain order, you could just save and reload to a point and access all the endings quicker so you don't have to start a new character.
Reload, huh?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't bother with much of the Brotherhood, so it's not going to be easy for me, and I'm not sure I want to either. I mean,
yeah, they're jerks. I understand.
I got the ending I wanted, which is the Commonwealth. The only people in the entire friggin' game who are unabashedly good guys. Everybody else has a problem. Even the Railroad has their own little thing, They don't care if you kill every scientist in the Institute.
No, that's not what they said. The Railroad was like, if anybody's unarmed, if any of the scientists are unarmed, then let them go, get them out of here. They actually said, don't shoot at the... anybody that's not firing at you,
they deserve to die.
No. They don't shed a tear if you blow up the Institute with them still inside. They don't.
Well, yes, if they're taking up arms against us, I wouldn't shed a tear either.
No, they were, but you see, there are scientists.
Self-preservation.
We're just there doing normal little experiments on.
Yeah, and they said let those people go.
I blame the parents.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, spoiler, anybody who hasn't played Fallout 4 or doesn't care about Fallout 4, you are the parent of the Institute, the Institute leader. He left you as a baby, and you were asleep for 200 years, and when you wake up, he's already 60 years old and older than you.
Well, there's an interesting point where, with the other three endings, whether it's Minimin Brotherhood or Railroad,
Aryan Brotherhood?
Brotherhood of Steel. There's no Aryan Brotherhood. They're all dead, I'm sure.
They are sort of like Nazi-ish towards artificial people.
Anybody that's not human, basically.
That's not entirely true. It's the leader who is that way.
Yeah, Maxon. Yeah. He's the real a-hole.
Yeah, but you can't kill him.
Yes, you can.
Everybody needs it. Yeah, but you know what? That's not true. That's not fair, though. Everybody needs an a-hole.
It's true. Everyone has one.
Everyone has opinions and assholes. Yeah,
And the Commonwealth's a-hole is named Elder Maxon. There you go.
There are no a-holes in the Minutemen,
That's true.
None of them.
Is that why they're all so uptight?
Who?
The Minutemen.
No, they're not uptight.
No, they're not. As a matter of fact, the most senior of them, this woman who's sort of like a cool granny, but she's still...
Ronnie Shaw.
Yeah, she still knows how to handle a gun,
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, but the thing is that, even the Institute, though, even the Railroad has their thing, which is annoying.
Yeah.
But, but here's the thing. When you take over the Institute and you finish with the Institute, it implies that you're going to steer them the right way. But I didn't want to take that chance, so I just blew it up and had all the scientists leave. I figured
you mean towards heteronormativity, right?
No, I mean towards helping people.
Yeah, nice to people. Really.
Yeah, I mean, what they're doing is they're kidnapping people and replacing them with replicants, basically. And I also kept my robot child.
I kept my robot chicken.
I love that show. That child, it just kind of throws you a little bit because it's almost like... Because I always thought there was a little bit of a weird hole in the story with that, with the father being your son, is that if that was true, if that boy that Kellogg watched before the courser came to get him was 10 years old, then why did it take him 50 years to go find Virgil? It just seemed very strange.
Yeah, well, he was spending his time consolidating and all that stuff, you know. Yeah. He was rising to power during that time.
Speaking of Virgil, I've been reading Dante's Inferno.
Okay. Well, let's not make this podcast the Seven Levels of Hell.
Too. Yeah, we'll...
Well, I mean, that was my cue to you. That's what it's becoming.
Okay. Yeah. So anyways, we're going to move on to the first item. Nintendo is deleting people's Mario Maker stages without telling them, and without telling them why. And this is from Kotaku. When Mario Maker launched, Nintendo warned players it could remove stages from the game for a variety of reasons, including ones that were merely unpopular. Nintendo has made good on that threat, but folks at Mario Maker community are upset because it's not really clear what unpopular means. Here's what Nintendo originally outlined. Notice regarding course uploads. Please be aware that over a fixed period of time, courses with low popularity will be automatically deleted from the server, and Nintendo reserves the right to use uploaded courses and related data as is or with alterations, either for commercial or non-commercial purposes, without compensation of the uploader. In other words, if they have a best of maps thing, they're going to use your maps and they're not going to pay you. Low popularity was never defined, but it's reasonable to assume that Nintendo is referring to a number of plays, completion rate, and stars. Combined, those three paint a picture of how Nintendo might determine if a level isn't popular enough. Someone asked Nintendo about this and on their official support forums, but were simply referred to a customer support number. Now, that's not the article is much, much longer. And
who wants the inside scoop on this?
Yeah, Scott. Yeah, you are the one who's. I'm pretty sure that you're annoyed at this because there's a lot of examples in the article which I couldn't really get into, which was really shady on Nintendo's part.
Yeah, because if you're not defining what the popularity or what the reason is, or giving warning or you know anything, because sometimes these people they will spend hours and hours or maybe even weeks on these levels, and just to have them deleted just because it's not played enough or didn't get enough stars or they're not even being told, it just feels really shady.
And also, when they delete us something, you can never upload it again. They just nope, sorry.
I mean, do they even get a backup at least so they can play it themselves?
Yeah, and
it's still on your machine.
Yeah, okay. Here's the thing is that people are upset because this is the only way they can send these levels to their friends.
Yeah, exactly.
And their friends can't play their levels because Nintendo said, you know what, only a few people are playing it, so screw you, we're going to delete it.
Right, but this is not a private file sharing protocol. This is apparently something not. That's being sent out to a community, and if the community doesn't want it, then it shouldn't be there. Quite frankly, it costs Nintendo money to keep those servers operated. They can't just have every single level that somebody put one block in.
Yeah.
You know, as Mario Maker continues to decline in popularity, there's absolutely no reason they should be keeping all of this data. It's for nothing. The project becomes more of a money sink than it does a business venture.
Well, I'd buy that, except for the fact there's no way to send these files to your friends any other way. If there was a private way to send these files to your friends, fine. You know, then okay, delete them because no one's playing them. But you know, you have to.
Well, then you know what? Then your friends weren't playing it either. Like yeah, either they saw it.
Suppose you have five friends. At least five friends play it, Paul, but they play it a lot.
Well, fortunately for you, by then they will have Mario Maker 2, which I'm sure will be far more popular.
They should be allow you to save the file and send it to your friend, even if it's just, you know, on your hard drive and you just transfer it by USB or flash or whatever.
I just think that the number of people who would do that are so few that it doesn't make sense for them to do it. B, it goes against their core thing of protecting yeah. children's anonymity. So you can't send other users' messages.
The problem,
because like
also,
once they open that door, then like pedophiles are going
to
jump on.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. I meant like if my friend's next door and he has a console and I just bring over an SD card with the level on it so he can put it on there. I meant somebody you already know.
Oh, I'll bet you that's already included.
Trying to figure out how many bytes these levels, you know, there can't be more than 10 kilobytes per map, really. They're using preset assets for levels that aren't very long. And I'm trying to figure out, is 10 kilobytes really going to be clogging up the system that much?
Maybe not, but 10 kilobytes per million users.
I mean, I still wouldn't use it because they have this BS way of doling out. You can't build levels right away. You have to practice their levels, and then they'll send those levels to you 2 days later. It used to be 9 days later, you know, basic stuff, you know, and it's like, you know, yeah, I get it. You know, there are morons out there, but I'm not a moron. Let me just have all the assets. You know, I'll build a level for you. I'll build a level with all the assets. Don't make me wait 2 months before I can do anything that I want to do. You know, the levels that I have in my head. No, I get it.
The majority of players of that game are about 8 years old. So,
yeah.
Scott, are you eight?
I haven't played the game, so,
no.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's a particularly great idea to start with, and I don't think they should be, like, they took a chance. I don't really think that is working. I don't think it really worked well to begin, like, from concept. But you know what? They shouldn't be losing money for it.
Here's the 8 years old, 8 year old kids won't be playing Mario Maker. The people who this is aimed for, the only people who would want to play this are people in their 30s who grew up with Mario and would like to make their own levels.
Utterly untrue.
You want to bet that I'm willing to bet you that the average age for Mario Maker is 32.
Find me some demographics.
Well, for one thing, the average video
I dare you.
Is 38. And that's from Nielsen.
So, I dare you to find me demographic information on this title.
So here's the thing. People out there, what do you think of this?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get demographics on this game. Like you were saying, protecting the child's anonymity. Anybody under 13, you're not going to get their information.
Yeah, and by the way, friend codes didn't work, you know, for protecting people's anonymity. So... it's, you know, here's the thing. You know what the problem is? That Nintendo still doesn't quite get the internet.
Mm-mm.
You know,
I don't think they do.
They still don't get it. Sony gets it a little bit, but Nintendo really doesn't get it. And, you know, you know, we could always talk about the NX coming out at E3. Paul, do you know if you're going to E3 this year or not?
Of course I'm going to E3. Why wouldn't I?
I don't know. Maybe you don't. Maybe last year you were bored out of your skull.
I always hold out to the hope that, like, maybe next year I won't be bored.
Yeah, you spent almost all E3 standing in line getting those amiibos. Or no, wait, were they amiibos or were they Disney Infinity? I forgot.
They were Infinities.
Okay, in these Infinity things. You spent that was your E3. Get it?
Because there was nothing to look at. It was like everybody was asleep this year.
Yeah, I mean, I did get to meet people like Richard Garriott. I mean, but yeah, I mean, I'm hoping this coming year, at least the NX is probably going to be revealed. I mean, there's that. Are you looking forward to the NX, Paul?
Nintendo's next system?
Yeah, the NX. It's unofficially called the NX.
That sounds stupid, but okay.
No, it's a code name. You know, it's like the Dolphin or the, you know, I doubt they're going to call it the NX. Although I will say this, the Nintendo DS, that was its working name. And people said, we like it. And they said, okay, we'll let it remain being called the DS. Dual screen. Yeah.
The NX does sound better than the Wii. Or actually, I thought they were going to call it the Revolution. I guess that was their code name for the Wii. And I thought that sounded nice at least, but maybe.
I don't know about that.
Better than the Wii, because it's like you can make fun of that so easily. Wii U, you know, anyways. But I think I'm interested to see what they do. Hopefully it'll be good.
I'm not excited about another Nintendo console until I get at least another 2 years out of this one.
Wait, the Wii U?
Yep.
Okay.
So if they're announcing it 2 years ahead of time, great.
I think it's probably going to come out.
Then I could be like...
Well, that's not usually. Well, think about it. That might be, you know, in 18 months. I mean, they announced it at 2016, the E3, and they released it at holiday 2017. So that would be 2 years, basically, or one and a half years.
I prefer 2018. Let them take their time and do a good job on
that
it.
Long. I doubt
that. Let them take their time and do a good job on it because I have no reason to rush.
I think they're going to want to release it a year before Nintendo and Sony release their new consoles. And by
they announced new consoles?
No, but if they're on schedule for a new console in like 2019, I will say this though.
What's on schedule? They haven't announced anything, so nothing's coming out.
Okay, I will say one hard thing about the NX is that it will be a console. It's not going to be a hybrid. It's not going to be a handheld. It's going to be an actual factual console. So that's all we know. It's going to be a console, and they've been sending out dev kits. So.
Well, yeah, but the Wii U is a console, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's too soon. It's too soon. The original NES was out for like 8 years. Everybody had it and loved it because they didn't have to. I'm sick and tired of being trained to give people hundreds of dollars every other year. It's ridiculous. It's gonna cause the collapse of the entire sector.
Okay, anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Paul.
Vivendi's takeover of Ubisoft looms, and this comes to us from Game Watcher. In the past year, Vivendi has been stalking Ubisoft like a big game hunter taking aim at an elephant from the tall grass. The conglomerate has been buying Ubisoft stock, highlighted by a purchase of 6.6% of the publisher's stock for about 140 million pounds.
Euros. That's euros.
Oh, euros, whatever. it's not a real currency.
Wow. Tell that to the European Union now, Paul.
This has led to CEO Yvette Guillemot having to proclaim Ubisoft would not be taken over. However, Vivendi has reportedly dumped the last of its share of Activision Blizzard stocks, amounting to the sale of 5.7% stake for a cool 1 billion euros. Vivendi at one point had controlling interest of Activision, owning 61% of the company. However, the conglomerate couldn't find a major buyer for the publisher and sold off chunks of AB stock. Activision Blizzard finally got back controlling interest in the company in 2013. Vivendi's stated reason for dumping Activision Blizzard shares were basically selling high. The company's stock was never more valuable that year than that year, with blockbuster sales in Skylanders and Call of Duty leading the way. With Vivendi buying up Ubisoft and GameLoft stock, it seems inevitable that the company will use the revenue from the final Activision Blizzard sale to buy more stock of each company. Vivendi currently owns 11.25% of Ubisoft and 25% of GameLoft. In a bit of irony, Activision Blizzard once owned 15% of Ubisoft stock back in 2010. Imagine if it still owns that stock, forcing Vivendi to pay Activision Blizzard, the publisher it once owned 61% of, to get controlling interest of yet another gaming company.
Yeah, this is sending shockwaves. He's French Canadian there. Actually, Ubisoft itself is French, but they also have places in French Canadian, their Quebec Montreal offices.
French Canada.
I haven't been to Montreal. I've only been to Vancouver, which is basically Little Britain. That's my Canadian experience. Anyway,
my Canadian experience goes no further than Epcot.
Yeah. Vivendi really screwed over Activision Blizzard in a big way. And if it wasn't for Skylanders and Call of Duty, that company would have gone under.
Well, if it wasn't for their ability to create an entire genre of gaming. What a statement, Jonah. Jesus.
It's true, though. I remember this. There was a lot of stuff going on. And Yishir Mo keeps on reassuring people that there's no way in hell that Vivendi's going to buy Ubisoft. But we all know that's not true. I mean, if they want to raid, the stockholders are going to sell their stock. Because what happens is, you know, the longer the wait, the higher the stock gets. Vivendi keeps on buying stock, the stock becomes more valuable. People sell the stock because they want to sell high, and after a while, you know, Vivendi gets controlling interest, and you know, Vivendi. You know, Vivendi killed Sierra Online.
Yeah, I know. I'll never forgive him for that.
You know, they killed several companies, and, you know, Activision was just too big to kill. You know, and Vivendi only bought them because they wanted to, you know, because they were raiding and they wanted to have a big share, which, you know, we've seen what happens with corporate raiders. You know, they come in, they buy the company, then they sell everything off cheap, they lay off everybody, and then they leave they sell the remainder. You know,
they don't give a crap about the product that company is making. It reminds me of when there was a Nintendo shareholders meeting, and one of the stockholders was asking about, kept complaining that, like, oh, you're bringing up video games. I don't want to talk about video games. I want to talk about how we make money. And it's like, you make money by making video games. What are you doing here? I don't get it. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo's a special case because they've been around for a lot longer than people think. They've been around for 140 years, I think it is, because Nintendo started off as a playing card company, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You have no opinion.
It's not that I have no opinion. It's that I have no insight.
Right. You need more information.
Yeah, it's like, you know, any investor wants to buy low and sell high. Like, that's kind of the point.
Well, let me ask you a question. As a game designer, or you're working for a company, right? You're working for a studio, and that studio gets bought out. Do you get nervous that people are going to start getting laid off because they're trying to trim the fat?
Is it getting bought out? They're only buying stock. They don't have the power to. I mean,
yeah,
they're very different. It's very different than like the Lucas Disney deal.
Yeah,
you know, Disney's like now. Disney's like, no, we own you. We paid for you, and we're going to change everything right now.
He's sniping about it now. He's taking
profits
left and right now.
Not the point. If there are going to be like staffing changes at the Ubisoft, like it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
Like this is a long route around. This is longer than a negotiation with the owners. It's a takeover. Takeovers take time. If it is a takeover, they could just be investing.
Yeah.
They might have their eye on buying, you know, half a dozen different startups right now because they're going to create new genres just like Skylanders did. Because that's what happened. See, so Vivendi bought stock in Activision. Activision created an entire new subgenre of gaming that is now worth like fucking bajillions of dollars.
Let me ask you a question.
And, well, and now it's time to sell.
So is the Toys to Life?
It's about identifying trends and making money for Vivendi.
Is the Toys to Life genre your favorite genre now?
Oh my God, yes. I have been like clutching the arms of my chair for my Lego Dimensions to come because I was waiting until after Christmas when they went on sale.
That's cool.
Oh my God, it'll get here in like 2 days, and like I could practically like jizz my pants in excitement.
Here's the thing. With Lego, Lego Dimensions is unique in that you actually, in order to change, say, the vehicle, you actually have to, you know, rebuild the vehicle, you know, take the vehicle apart and build it up in a different way to make it change. So you're actively changing the Legos.
That makes sense.
And I had to make a very difficult decision about which, because I also wanted,
there's Amiibos, there's Disney, and there's Skylanders, and there's Lego.
So. Okay, well, nobody plays with Amiibos. Those things are ridiculous. because you can't freaking do anything with them. All right,
and you're not interested in Skylanders either.
No, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
But I wanted to, of course, get this, you know, some of this year's characters for Infinity, but I just didn't have the extra money to buy, you know, $200 gaming systems. So you know what? I believed in Lego's promise that they're not going to make me update my software every year with a $100 update. And I bought them, and I'm going to skip Infinity 3.0, and I'll just wait for 4.0. The figures will still be good next year. The playsets will still be good.
And, you know, also, you're going to have a little bit...
Hell, the ones that I want now will be cheaper next year.
I mean, you're going to have a bit of a variety that's not the standard Disney stuff, too. You're going to have, you know, like...
Oh, my God, I'm waiting for Peter Pan. Like, you have no idea.
And Scooby-Doo.
I thought you meant with Infinity 4. Yeah, Infinity 4, like, they better get me back to my classic Disney characters or they're just going to lose forever.
You want the 50s, 60s Disney, huh? The 40s, 50s, 60s?
No, I want, like, the actual Disney animated motion picture characters. I'm not really interested in... screw that. I want Beauty and the Beast. I want Peter Pan. I want Hercules. I want Cinderella. Like, give me Disney already, goddammit. Stop giving me everything that you bought.
Do you have any love for Robin Hood?
Of course I love Robin Hood. Robin's awesome.
Yeah.
But that, like, that's kind of my point. It's like they shot everything at me except what I wanted. Use the Disney brand to give me every other character you possibly could.
I dare them to have Chernabog.
They have Chernabog's Guardian Souls attack in there.
Of course. I mean, you'll have, you know, Mickey as the Sorcerer's Apprentice and all that stuff.
No, exactly. I mean, there's Chernabog based items in the game already.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, also recently, getting back to the topic at hand, you know, Ubisoft laid off some of their board members. So, yeah, I mean, they're scrambling over there. And I think, you know, this is inevitable. Vivendi's going to swallow up Ubisoft. It's what Vivendi does with Ubisoft that concerns me.
I think they're going to do absolutely nothing.
Well, here's the problem with Ubisoft, though. They've been making absolute crap lately.
They might be working. You don't know. They might be working on something super cool.
Well, they let's see. Tom Clancy.
If anything, this says be on the lookout for something big to come out of Ubisoft in the next 5 years.
But the problem with that is that we got Watch Dogs, and it was absolute crap. You know, that was the big thing. Watch Dogs. You know, they're saying it's going to be the next open world game, and it just fell flat on its face. And we don't know what's going to happen with The Division. It's supposed to be coming out. Then they just announced that they're cutting out a section of the game because they don't have.
My professional guess would be that Ubisoft is probably working on something really cool, something really new, something really not ready for market.
We hope so, because there's just so much.
It might be the next Guitar Hero or Skylanders mega breakout hit.
Did you see they're having Psychonauts DLC 4?
I can't hear a word you're saying.
You know they're having Psychonauts DLC for Rock Band 4.
DLC for Rock Band 4? I'm not surprised at all by that word.
Okay, Scott, you have to quit banging your keyboard like that. No,
I'm not banging, I'm coughing. I'm sorry.
You have a mute? You have a cough button? Oh, well. Anyways,
God, Jonah, you're so mean. What the hell?
I'm not mean. I'm just honest, like you.
The poor boy's dying over there.
I'm all right.
We have to move on because time is running out.
I don't like the whole video games being traded on the stock market. I mean, you got the Skylanders thing is great. I'm glad it worked. But I think, for the most part, a lot of development companies have been slaughtered and destroyed because they've been bought out by like EA or Vivendi or you know or whomever, and they get left in the dust because all they care about is making money. They don't care about the product, and that just that's what that whole article or news article reminds me of and makes me think about, and that just I don't you know, like that crap.
You could aim the same concern about any creative force. I mean, you could say the same about music. You could say the same about film.
Yep.
You know, people are not in this for free. I mean, Paul's not gonna is not in the industry.
I'm not saying for free. I know every game maker wants to make money. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like for example, Sierra. They were making games, and of course I would buy them. I bought pretty much every game that they've ever made. But then suddenly the market wanted 3D animation games, so they started trying to do that, and apparently you know it didn't come out well. You just look at King's Quest VIII. So they basically. They sold their company to Vivendi to try to save it, and it got destroyed. Oh. You know that's not them just trying to make a buck. That's you know Sierra drowning.
But sometimes things just die because they're no longer able to keep up. Look at Atari. Look at MicroProse. Look at you know there's tons of companies that just couldn't keep up. You know look at Sega. Sega couldn't have a console anymore. They fell back and they. But, you know...
But those decisions are made for business purposes. Yeah. That's not because they didn't have talented people who couldn't make hardware.
Or maybe they don't have a strong mission statement. I mean, Microsoft has survived, Nintendo has survived, Sony has survived, because they all have missions.
Right, and their mission statement is to make fucking money.
Well, not only that, but they have to have, you know, this is what we're going to do. And we're not going to try and diversify too much. We have a focus, we're going to do it, and boom, this is what we're going to be doing. And hell or high water, you know, and usually when you're able to focus on something and you know what you want to be, then you'll succeed, you know. Anyways, we have to get to the next item. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Square Enix announces upcoming Hitman game will be going fully episodic. This is from the Game Watcher website. The upcoming Hitman reboot, which will be released on the 11th March, will be fully episodic, Square Enix has announced. The publisher states that Hitman become a truly episodic AAA game experience with a major live component. The Hitman that will be released in March will be just the prologue and the Paris location, with other locations following, including Italy in April and Morocco releasing in May. From there, three more locations will be released on a regular basis. They will be Thailand, the United States, and finally Japan. Square Enix promises the entire story will be finished in 2016. So that's this year. Yay! The initial prologue and Paris chapter will cost $15, while each of the next locations will be $10. However, it will not cost $65 to own all of the content. Rather, players can prepay for the entire series for a standard $60. Developer Low Interactive explained the decision to do a Telltale Game-styled season of episodes for a game that is decidedly not an adventure game. We decided to take the full leap and publish Hitman as a truly episodic game experience, said the studio head, Haynes Seifert. Part of that decision is for that little bit of extra time to ensure every location released is a quality level fitting for a Hitman game. But the main driving reason is that this will allow us to create a living game that will expand and evolve over time and establish a foundation for the future. This is the first game in a storyline which will continue and expand with future Hitman games. Episodic games that are not adventure games have not fared well in the past. The Half-Life 2 episodes have been permanently stuck on a cliffhanger for the past 8 years. The less said about S-Sin, the better. However, Square Enix and Low Interactive have confident Hitman will be successful.
Yeah, that's IO Interactive, by the way. I can tell you exactly what happened. The deadline, March 11th, is coming, and they realized, oh, crap, the game's not finished. We're having development problems. So what we're going to do is we're going to release the prologue and the three levels we have ready already on a regular basis, then we'll finish the rest of it and finish it by 2016. So basically, rather than pushing back the release date all the way to the holiday season, which, by the way, could be problematic because that's when all the big games are coming out and they don't think Hitman can compete with them, they'll just say, oh, you know what? We'll release the game bit by bit by bit by bit by bit by bit.
I thought I smelled bullshit with this because I'm really getting kind of tired of the episodic stuff. There's this Kickstarter game that said, oh, we're going to be episodic, and you get the first chapter for $20, and you can only get a season pass if you pay $200.
What?
Which just seems – yeah.
What?
You only get the that's what they said.
Well, this is a little more
right,
sane.
Because they're going to do another Kickstarter for episode 2,
yeah.
Another Kickstarter for episode 3, and it's becoming a business model, and it's really, really upsetting. Because how the hell is anybody supposed to be able to feed themselves if this is – you know what? It's a sign of the fundamental shift in our economy where everybody's fighting over freaking crumbs.
Well, yeah.
And this is about to become a very different kind of podcast.
I'm not bothered by this at all, because if you're suspicious, you can just wait. You know, you can just say,
yeah.
Okay, fine, I'll wait until December. And if the reviews are good, then I'll buy the entire kit and caboodle, because they're releasing the entire thing, a physical copy, during the holidays, which is when, of course, all the episodes will be done. And I think there's just a one-off thing in which they say, oh, God, don't want to delay this, but we don't want to rush this out the door, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to release it on the day that we said it was going to be released, but we're going to release it piecemeal.
I call bullshit.
Well, okay. What is the bullshit?
The bullshit is they ran out of money.
No, I don't think they ran out of money. I think they just, you know, you know this happens, Paul.
Yeah, it happens. They run out of money all the time.
No, this is Square Enix. This is not a Kickstarter. This is Square Enix, and IO Interactive is a major developer too.
Right, but just because they're major developers doesn't mean that they weren't given X amount of budget and that they're not going to be approved for more. It's like this is a risky venture. We don't know if it's going to work. This is what you have to work with. Make it happen.
It's just a Hitman game. It's not risky. Hitman is a very known quantity. I just think this is a very unique.
Didn't you just say in the last story that the last Hitman wasn't good?
No. I didn't say that. No one said that.
That was
Ubisoft. Ubisoft has nothing to do with Hitman.
I thought you did.
No. Anyways. Getting back to this, like I said, I'm not
fine. I'll say it. The last one wasn't good.
Here's the thing: if you don't have any faith in them, don't buy it now. No one's forcing anybody to buy it on March 11th. Anybody
of course you are. You're standing here with a gun, telling me to buy it right now.
I'm not. Who is saying that?
You are.
Me?
Yes.
I'm just saying, if
Hitman
you don't
fanboy, and you won't let any of us get any rest.
Oh, I don't really care about Hitman. I'm just saying.
You're such a liar. Now you're just lying to make me look bad.
I could never make you look bad, no matter how. Hard.
Somebody roll the tape. Shall we roll the tape back?
If you're really suspicious, then you don't have to buy it now. You can buy it and buy it when it's complete. That's all I'm saying. There's nothing. There's so long as it's $60. You know, that's fine. That's the standard price for a game. You know, you're not paying extra like Scott just said about this ridiculous Kickstarter. Yeah. Are you sure they said that, Scott? $200?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Project Resurgence.
That is ridiculous.
It
$10 an episode. That's not ridiculous.
No, but I mean, it adds up to 65 unless you get the season pass, then it's 60. I'm just saying, if you're suspicious and you think it's BS, then just wait until the entire thing is released.
I call bullshit.
And that's the news, everybody. Paul says it's bullshit.
Yeah, we could all go home now.
Yes, the internet's over.
Okay, so we're going to go to the last item.
Paul wins the internet.
Former game developer accused of being a spy released from Iranian prison. And this comes to us from Game Informer. In 2011, Amir Mizrahi Hekmati, a former Marine and developer for Kuma Reality Games, was arrested and imprisoned for allegedly being a CIA spy. In 2012, he was sentenced to death through Iran Supreme Court.
So wait. He was arrested for working for the U.S. government in Iran.
Yeah.
For being a spy.
Okay, so why... Okay, never mind. I'll keep that. I just wanted to clarify, and I will...
Okay, he was just being a spy. In 2012, and he's a game developer. In 2012, he was sentenced to death, though Iran's Supreme Court later overturned the sentence and ordered a new trial. According to CNN, Hekmati, along with several other U.S. prisoners, have been released as part of a prisoner swap. Hekmati had worked for Kuma as a developer on a game designed to help soldiers learn languages. In a supposed confession aired on Iranian state television after his arrest, Hekmati allegedly said that Kuma had been working to spread propaganda for the CIA. Though Hekmati is now free from prison, a statement has been released on Facebook by his family saying, "There are still many unknowns. At this point, we are hoping and praying for Amir's long-awaited return." You know, this isn't the first time. I know that game developers were arrested in... I don't know if it was Iran or if it was Saudi Arabia for being spies.
So essentially, we're saying that this man is an American hero.
I think he's from Iran, though.
So, yes, but he was a spy for the United States Central Intelligence Agency.
But his crime was...
So basically, he's an American hero.
Sounds like it, yeah. A video game hero.
Why is this scandalous? Why is this man not being presented with a medal?
Because by Iran?
Not back yet?
He was. It's just that we're hoping he gets out of this situation because basically.
Alive, yeah.
All he did was make language software. You know?
Fantastic! So he's been released from prison and he'll be home any day now.
Yeah. That's not. If you read between the lines, his family isn't so sure that's going to happen. You know, they're figuring that there's going to be some other BS that's going to trip him up and, you know, he'll be forced back and stuff like that. You know, the same thing happened to these, some game developers, and I forgot what it was. Maybe our listeners remember. Like I said, there isn't much news in the past week. So this is basically an update that, you know, that what's going on. And it's very scary. I mean, you know. In certain places, you have to be careful. I mean, yeah. We don't know what's going on in Russia. I mean, Russia's a very unfriendly place right now for a whole group of people. So,
Lord knows I wouldn't travel there. Waka waka.
Neither would I, and it has nothing to do with sexuality.
Lies! Oh, never mind.
Well, I can't afford it anyway, so there's that.
Yeah, that was my thought.
Why would you want to go there? It's just a terrible place, it seems like.
Well, you know, okay, aside from the government, Russia actually is a very beautiful place.
It's beautiful, sure, but it just the government is kind of a big issue.
Paul, let me
just... Government tends to be a thing, no matter where you go.
Yeah.
You're Ukrainian, right?
My family emigrated from Ukraine, yes.
Yeah, so would you want to visit the Ukraine, right?
Hell no. My grandfather bribed people good money to get out here, and there is no reason to undo all of that hard work.
Good point.
Yeah. Anyways, our question of the week is, what is your favorite mobile / social game? And since Paul has been a part of a lot of mobile and social games, we'll ask him first. Paul, what mobile social games are you enjoying right now?
And right now, I think my big favorite is Heyday. Although I also try to keep abreast of things like Disney's Descendants. What was that?
Refresh our memories. What is Heyday?
Oh, Heyday is a crafting game in which with a farming narrative.
Oh.
Yeah, you just make stuff. It's great.
Get it.
I like when they do I like that they have a weekly neighborhood tournament. So you and your little team tries to outcraft everybody else on their little teams. It's awesome.
Oh, that's nice. They should have that in Minecraft, you know, in which you have an official contest between people.
That'd
be awesome.
No, I mean, you start from scratch, and then you have 2 hours to do something.
I did a build contest, actually.
Okay, well, before you... Paul, continue.
I will, however, say that I am fantastically excited to play my latest download, which is which I haven't gotten to yet, which is the Rick and Morty iOS game.
Oh, yes. You know,
Oh, my God. That show is so funny.
Sean Baptiste is a close friend of us in the podcast, and he's responsible for the game. He actually sent me a free code. I haven't tried it yet. But, yeah, that's the big game right now. It's trending. It's number one in iOS store right now.
I know. That's how I knew it was released. I mean, I saw a commercial for it, but I'm very excited.
Hopefully, Sean Baptiste will be a billionaire and he'll send me like $100,000 because he's a friend. How about
Jonah, you laugh. The rest of us weep for you.
How about you, Scott?
Well, my favorite mobile game, I guess I'll go with the handheld Professor Layton games.
Oh.
Those are my favorite.
Well, actually, those aren't mobile. Though those are
why I said I go handheld.
Still mobile. You could take them with you.
Okay. How about? Are there any mobile phone or?
Okay. I guess Codebreaker or.
Codebreaker is that related to the game that's hot right now?
I have no idea.
No, that's the one where there's a code of four different colored pegs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, that's a good one. It's a good one.
That sounds like Mastermind.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yep. And you're unlocking the code or breaking
the
code.
No, Jonah. That sounds like fun.
I haven't played Mastermind in a very long while. I've always been very good at it, though.
So, if you do say so yourself.
I do. Anyway, personally, I've been playing a lot of Lords of Waterdeep. Social games. I haven't really been playing any social games lately. The last social game I played, well, I mean, I haven't played Bejeweled Blitz in a while. Even though people keep on asking me to help them, I cruelly ignore them because I don't want to get back into that game. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Another sweet little find of mine that I absolutely kind of adore is Disney's Sweet Treats.
That sounds a little bit like Candy Crush right off the bat.
It is a mobile game that is more instead of matching three, you're making chains of three, so they can go in. You know, it's not about switching; it's about making a connection with the neighbor.
Sounds like Candy Crush.
It's slightly different.
Okay, how's it
different? And not
because I thought Candy Crush you just make
because it's in a different genre. It's in an adjacent genre, so they are similar, but it's a different genre.
I'll have to. What did you say the game was?
It is called Disney Sweet Treats. It is more akin to King's Blossom Explosion, something or other.
You know, speaking of games being similar to others, I just remembered I actually played Ni No Kuni over the Christmas break.
Oh.
And there's a very Pokemon-like element in it where you're throwing out these little familiars. And you collect them and you can store them in a little familiar sanctuary. And you train them, you level them up, you get them equipment and stuff. But it feels very Pokemon-ish, you know? Yeah. It just...
You do know that the sequel is coming out this year, Ni No Kuni.
Yes, yes, I do.
Right. Anyways, so let us know what your favorite mobile / social game is. I mean, Paul, let me ask you a question. You don't do The Sims Social anymore, do you?
The Sin Social no longer exists.
Oh, well, then that would sort of put a kibosh on playing The Sin Social.
Yes, it would.
Were you playing it when it was shut down, or did you quit before that?
No, I was playing it when it was shut down. I was irritated because it was a disgusting cash grab. Which a lot of people signed into, and then it was like, oh, by the way, you've got 10 days.
You see, they should. At some point, someone's gonna have to, you know, say, you know what? Okay, so you invested so much time in this game, we'll just leave it there. What's it called? You can host your own server, so we don't have to deal with it anymore, and there won't be any more, you know, microtransactions. You just play the game. And, you know, maintain the relationships you did with other people's Sims and stuff like that. You know, it sort of reminds you of City of Heroes, in which, you know, oh, guess what? We're shutting down. So all that time you spent with your friends and you're doing your costume contests and all that stuff. Well, guess what? It's not going to be around anymore. Sorry. Anyways, leaving on that downer note, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles, and your feedback. So leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. You can also set up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast, or the forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum, or send your comments to fans at GamingPodcast.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes, leave some iTunes comments. You can reach Scott at @AlphaShard, me at Jonah Falcon, and Paul, do you still have the same?
I still do have the same at the moment.
So it's at Stager Monkey.
Yes, at Stager Monkey.
Because I knew you were making noise about changing your Twitter handle.
I was thinking about it.
Yeah, so you're sticking with at...
Well, for the moment.
Stager...
If I open my own company, I'll change it.
Oh, okay. So it's Stager with an R, Monkey.
Yeah.
Because it's not Stage Monkey. That would be...
No, it's not Stage Monkey. It's Stager Monkey.
Right. So anyways, we will see you next week. We don't know when we'll see Paul again, but thanks for coming on this week.
Thanks for coming on, Paul.
Well, thanks, guys. It was nice having me... I know. It was nice having me.
Yeah. Anyways, we will see you next week, except for Paul.
Okay. Happy gaming, everyone.
Bye, Bonds. What? It's good advice.